Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 17th of September, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy iPhone pre-order day, everyone.
Yes, I hope everyone, I hope you've sufficiently recovered if you are on the West Coast and got up at 5 this morning. Mostly because that means you didn't read Andrew's article about creating the shortcut so you could just push the button and go back to sleep. So,
yeah.
Everyone else, cool. Let us know what phone you got. We're definitely interested. Mostly because I always like to find out what color people find the most appealing. I'm always interested in which one everybody orders. So now that that's an option and it's not the black one or the white one, I'm curious about that. So let us know, TMO Daily on Twitter, observations at macobserver.com, or just leave me a comment in the show notes. To start today, we have a little PSA about something that's being added to Coinbase.
Yes. So good news for people who use Coinbase. For those of you who don't know, Coinbase is a cryptocurrency exchange where you can buy and sell a whole bunch of different coins like Bitcoin, Ether, Dogecoin, on and on. They announced earlier this week that Coinbase users can now secure their accounts with a two-factor authentication security key. Now, you were able to do it with a software key. We're talking about is one of those physical keys, like a YubiKey, where you have plug it into your device and authenticate it with your fingerprint. I think that's how they work.
Yeah. So, interesting. Okay.
So, I highly recommend it. I mean, even if you don't use a physical key, you should definitely protect your account with a, you know, regular software TOTP.
Yeah. Multi-factor, two-factor at a minimum definitely needs to happen. So, that's always a good idea. Thank you for the PSA. I'm glad we got that in there. And we have another PSA for you, sort of, because we're going to talk about it for a minute. And that is Apple software updates that are out. You may have seen some discussion of this, and we're going to tell you what they are and why you need them.
Yeah, I think it was Monday, maybe. Apple, they released security updates for all of their operating systems. This will be iOS 14.8, watchOS 7.6.2. I think there was a macOS. I think that's 11.6 is the most recent one.
11.6.
And, of course, the iPad OS.
Yeah.
So it fixed a couple of things, and one of them is related to something we had mentioned a few times before, the Pegasus spyware. I think we actually talked about that last week.
We did.
It's used by governments to spy on certain groups of people. Yeah. And this most recent security update from Apple, it patched the vulnerability in iMessage that was used by Pegasus, because Pegasus is what's known as zero-click malware. All you have to do is receive this infected, I think it was maybe an infected PDF, something like that. So all you had to do is receive it, and boom, you're.
It doesn't even matter if you open the text message. It doesn't matter if you know the person. We always tell you don't do that thing because it could be bad. But in this case, there's no don't do it, because that's not how this one works. That's why it was such a big deal. And that's why you definitely need to update if you haven't already. If you are on Big Sur, there's an update. If you are on Catalina, there's an update. If you're on iOS 14, there's an update. And I want to say it was just iOS 14. I don't remember if they updated iOS 13 for this, but I also don't know if it's susceptible. So
I didn't mention a good point. So I didn't hear anything about iOS 13. However, people who are still running macOS Catalina also got a security update for this.
Yeah. So and much like previous versions of the operating system, I don't know of iOS. I don't know if anything older than Catalina received any sort of updates or anything. I didn't see an update from Mojave, which is something I pay attention to occasionally at the day job. So I wasn't sure if I didn't think that had gotten one. So, yeah, so make sure you run that update. This is one of those times. I mean, we always tell you it's important to run the updates, especially if they're security updates. But this one is even more important because it's protecting you from something where you can't even, you can't protect yourself from this one because all you have to do is receive it. And that's all it takes. So make sure you run that update. It's very, very important because this stuff is really bad. And if you ever listen to Security Friday, you know how serious Pegasus can be. And this is going to be the thing that helps protect you. So make sure you do it. Next up, we have what I thought was kind of an interesting thing in a bug that broke shortcuts.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting story. It's a technical story because this person is explaining, you know, how it happened. So this is security researcher Franz Rosen. He was writing about this CloudKit bug that he kind of accidentally stumbled upon, it sounds like, and he accidentally broke shortcuts because I think it was earlier this year in March where suddenly people were seeing these messages on their devices that, like, they couldn't load old versions of shortcuts, like by the iCloud link. Mm-hmm. It said some kind of error message that it didn't work, and it's because of this person. So, so it's technical. I won't go through the whole thing, but he was in contact with the Apple security team, of course, and he did, despite, you know, breaking it, he did, it's all fixed, and they did reward him. So
that's good.
Thank you, Franz, and thanks, Apple.
Yeah, glad to hear it. So I did think that was kind of an interesting story, watching how it evolved through the story as he was talking about it. It was kind of interesting. So
yeah, and it wasn't just shortcuts. He mentions on Apple News, this bug affected that, and something called iCloud Plus, which I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, I'm not sure what iCloud Plus is either, but it was an interest. If nothing else, it was an interesting story. Even if you're not necessarily a person who follows the security stuff super closely, it's still and a good read. We've talked. People have complaints about the bug bounty system at Apple, and it was just nice to know that in this case they actually took care of it in a reasonable fashion. So that was good. And now moving on to one section of our show that I know is a favorite with everyone, and that is This Week in Data Leaks.
Here we go. So this health and wellness company based in New York City, it's called Get Health. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these data leaks, these security researchers found that they were storing their user data in a non-password protected database. So
fabulous.
It contained over 61 million records, exposing data from what it sounds like mostly HealthKit and Fitbit. Now, it's not HealthKit. It's not a bug with Apple itself. This is a result of people syncing their HealthKit data with health and fitness apps. This is what this company does.
Okay. So when you do the allow this to read health data, allow this to write stuff to health data so that if you use Strava to track running workouts or whatever, that stuff goes to the HealthKit app so that your rings get closed and that sort of thing. That's what the relationship is here. It wasn't HealthKit that was the trouble. It was these folks were reading and writing to and from and had all of that data. And that data is what got saved poorly, I guess we should say.
Yeah. So, yeah, speaking of Strava, they were affected. Other apps include Withings, the Moves app, Misfit, Google Fit, Fitbit, Fat Secret, Life Fitness, Jawbone, a whole bunch more. So the total size of this leak was, they say, 16.71 gigabytes. So
these findings were
from Website Planet with security researcher Jeremiah Fowler. Some of the data that was included, it looks like profile pictures your weight, your height, your birthday, first name, last name, username, gender, time zone, a few other more technical pieces of data. Okay. So not good news.
Yeah, because just what everybody wants on the internet is how much they weigh. yeah, age and weight. That's fantastic. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, and they just sort of didn't bother. Like, that's the thing that gets me about this. So yeah, there's lots of apps that were affected with this. You should just go check the list, because if you use any sort of fitness app or anything for personal health data, because like Withings makes Smart Scale, and they make like a blood pressure cuff and some other things, like the Fitbit style apps, like anything from that reads and writes to health, those are the ones you want to make sure. So yeah, good times.
Yeah.
So speaking of good times, we also have a nice little setup that criminal gangs are using, I think is how you put it in the headline.
Yeah, so this is an interesting story. This was from another research team from VPN Mentor. They reported that they discovered two separate criminal gangs using slightly altered versions of the same phishing kit to scam people all over the world.
Wonderful. Okay. All right.
So, yeah, we've explained how, like, what phishing is. Mm-hmm. You know, it involves fake websites, fake emails, fake text messages, trying to get your login information for your bank, for example. Mm-hmm. And criminals create these things with these phishing kits. So they say a phishing kit is a set of these software tools built to make it easier for people who don't have a lot of technical skills to create and launch phishing campaigns. And I think in the security world, those are called script kiddies.
Yeah, basically. I'm like, yeah, if you don't have enough sense to build one of these on your own, you shouldn't get a Lego kit to help you make it happen. I just feel like that's that's cheating somehow. Like, yeah. Honor among thieves and all of that. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, they say a typical phishing kit includes things like website software with a graphical user interface to build a fake website, along with email and text templates with the appropriate pictures and scripts to follow, like, you know, copy and paste a message. For additional fee, you can get lists of email addresses, telephone numbers, other types of personal information, also software to let you automate the entire process.
Yeah, they again,
say,
cheating.
These phishing, yeah, they say these phishing kits make cybercrime accessible to anyone with a laptop and internet connection. No technical skills are required.
Yeah, see, and that just seems like a shame. Like, if you're going to scam people, you should go about it honestly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, not to get too deep into it, but it says in one of the scams, this criminal group was pretending to be the UPS service.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten that one.
Yeah. And then this other one, it was targeting customers of Crédit Agricole Bank in France.
All right. Yeah.
And they say that one has been running since October 2020.
Oh, geez. So, I've gotten I have gotten UPS scam sort of things in the past. Like, you have a package, or we have a delivery for you and you need to go verify some information on our website, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I've gotten those. So whenever you get stuff like that, we've told you all about it before. You need to be 10% skeptical of anything that you weren't expecting. Well, I would say 20% skeptical of anything that shows up in your email, 10% skeptical if it's a thing you were already expecting. So, you should just kind of be suspicious of all of it for all kinds of reasons. And another thing you should be suspicious of is just sort of rolling up and joining any old Wi-Fi network, because that's our latest security story.
Yeah, and that has been a piece of advice for some time now. Be careful of the public networks you connect to at mm-hmm. the coffee shop or maybe the airport, somewhere else, because a research team from AirEye in collaboration with, let's see, the computer science faculty at the Israel Institute of Technology.
Okay.
So they found this Wi-Fi vulnerability, and they call it SSID stripping. And it causes a network name, which is the SSID, to appear differently in your device's list of networks than its actual network name. And they say the significance is that unsuspecting users may connect to an attacker controlled network that looks like it's called Starbucks Wi-Fi, but it's really a malicious network.
Yeah.
And they say this affects all major software platforms. They say Windows, iOS and macOS, Android, and also Ubuntu.
Yeah. So all those, I have a Linux box, I don't have to worry about any of this stuff. Those people are targeted by this as well. It works on those systems too. This is another one that's super great. This falls pretty firmly in the sleep tight kids category that we like to have here on the show. And part of that is because it used to be like just, you know, like the countermeasure for this, right, was make sure that you know what Wi-Fi network you're joining. Make sure it's the one you meant to. Don't join free public Wi-Fi. But now, even if you join, like you said, if you think you're joining Starbucks Wi-Fi, it may not be Starbucks Wi-Fi. So you need to make sure it's exactly what you think it's going to be, which is also sometimes kind of a tricky proposition. This is where the follow-on recommendation comes from us here at Security Friday of making sure that you are VPN'd into things and that you use a service like EncryptMe or NordVPN or something, so that when you do go join up to a network, whatever the network may be, we don't judge you, like whatever public network it is that you're hopping on, like just make sure that you're that all of your traffic is going to be reasonably protected while you're there.
Yeah. So a practical tip, use a VPN, especially on public networks, because what a VPN does, it routes your web traffic through, they always call it this encrypted tunnel. Mm-hmm. So people who, outside of the tunnel, like even if you're on a malicious network, using the VPN, the attacker can't really get any information about where you're browsing.
Mm-hmm. Or any of the information you enter in a browser while you're browsing is the other piece of that. So your credit card number is safe, all that kind of stuff. At least even if you were on the network doing something, if you're using a VPN, then none of the stuff that would be interesting to somebody and the reason that they're trying to sort of sniff all those Wi-Fi networks, it wouldn't do them any good because it wouldn't help. So that's where it comes in handy. Yep. So because they can't see anything at that point. So. Yeah, wonderful. If you have things that you would like for us to talk about, one of the things that brought up malicious Wi-Fi network joining was partly that it was a news story, but also we had a request from John for that. So thanks, John. If you would like to have a request for us to dig into something on the show, you can get us, as I said at the beginning, observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. And as always, Andrew, thanks for coming by to keep everybody awake this weekend.
Thanks for having me. I'm gonna go get some kind of vodka to cool my mind after all this, relax my mind. I do use a VPN though.
we're recording this podcast over VPN right now, so keep everything safe. Do what you can, and we will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and seriously, let's be careful out there.